This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Pleasantville State Bank, Verduft Agency, Pleasantville Schools, Midtown Tire, Dandy Farms, Cargill of Eddyville, Iowa Elevator Systems and Service, and Key Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Manufacturing, Lighton State Bank, American Family Insurance, Starver's Cellular, Don's Heating and Cooling, Proline Building Corporation, Dutch Meadows, and First State Bank. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
How is farming similar to and different from other businesses? What are some of the challenges that farmers face running their businesses? Let's go in depth with Leslie Miller and John Jensen with the Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. How is farming different from an average business, and how is it similar to an average business? Pick a whatever kind of business you want to talk about, retail, wholesale. How is it different?
I think at first blush, people will think there's huge differences, but in reality, there aren't. Each business to survive has to make a profit. And if you don't make a profit, you go out of business. And it doesn't matter if it's retail, a wholesale supplier, a farmer, what have you. I mean, they're all, the bottom line is profit. You have to be able to generate enough income to pay your expenses and have some money left over for living and for growth. So there, I mean, that very basic similarity is out there. One of the things that, from a community standpoint, one of the areas where farming is a little bit different is that we do generate some income off of something that's already within the area. And by that, we have our basic resource of land that we use and sunlight to turn inputs into an income. It used to be that the gap between those input costs and what farmers would earn was really quite a bit, and input costs were very, very minimal. That's not the case anymore. I mean, ever since I've been involved with agricultural lending, over 30 years, the inputs have grown more and more expensive, and so there's less margin for farmers to take out, and that's why they continue to try to get bigger and bigger. A retail person, a lot of times, someone on the square, they're purchasing inventory that's produced from outside the area. And so, yes, they have a cost, like the farmer does with inputs, but oftentimes their markup is very, very small. So they wind up not maybe getting quite as much margin in selling those inputs or selling that inventory as what a farmer might have compared to his input costs, especially right now with the $6 corn and, you know, $13 soybeans. There's a lot more margin out there for farmers than what the average person on the square would face. So there's a huge difference in that respect.
Bob, I guess in answering your question, I really don't believe overall there's many fundamental differences. I agree exactly with what Leslie said, but I would expand on one thing, and that is agriculture. And I'm going to speak what sounds absolutely here, and I may be wrong, but agriculture is a price taker in the marketplace. We're the only business that basically, you call the elevator and, what do you give me for corn today? And they make an offer. We don't call the elevator and say, I want X dollars for my corn, and they'll say, we'll buy it. That's what I mean by being a price taker or a price maker. The distinction with that is, at least presumably, that the retail person looks at his costs of getting the product, what he needs for a fair profit, to pay taxes, whatever else he may need to do, like overhead, and he sets a price for it. His limiting factor is the fact that if he is way outside the market and his competitors are selling cheaper, he may go out of business because he can't sell anything, but he still gets to set his own price, whereas the farmer takes the price offered by the marketplace for corn, beans, cattle, hogs, this type of thing. That to me may be the largest fundamental difference.
is the closest model, maybe not a retailer, but a manufacturer, because they're producing something too?
No. In terms of pricing a product, again, a manufacturer, when they make something, they figure out what it costs them to make it, and they try to sell it for that price. The net effect of either strategy, whether it's a farmer selling corn or somebody selling manufactured goods or selling inventory off of a clothing rack in a department store, you've got to generate enough income to cover your expenses. And so what farmers, by being price takers, they get rid of 100% of their inventory every year, and that generates them a certain amount of income. Whereas a retail person or a manufacturer, they maybe can't sell 100%. And so they write off a loss for unpurchased inventory, or they may not manufacture a certain number of items, and so they don't cover part of their overhead that way. I mean, it's the bottom line is still you've got to generate a profit to keep going, and the businesses work in two different angles. The farmers, they clear 100% of their inventory and do it whatever price the market tells them. The retailers and the manufacturers, they try to clear as much inventory as they can at a price that makes them money. And then when they stop selling inventory at that price, then they either wind up discounting it, doing whatever they can to get rid of it, or they just write it off as unsaleable.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Iowa State Savings Bank, ENT Clinic of Iowa, Knoxville Raceway, Meniga Pest Control, Pleasantville Clinic, Pella Feed Service, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, and Lely USA. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Cooperative Electric, Marion County Fair Association, Central College, Knoxville Hy-Vee, Four Seasons Yard Care, Fred's Muffler Shop, and Sunny Slope Greenhouse.
I continued my conversation about farming as a business with Leslie Miller and John Jensen. What are some of the common characteristics that you see in really successful farmers in terms of their business? And are they different from other kinds of businesses?
Probably they mirror each other. I'll answer you that way before I say anything else. The most successful in farming, And maybe, I hope, don't ask me to define successful, Bob, but
okay.
But they adapt technology, they use it wisely, they're careful with how they spend to get the technology, they're careful with their marketing, they're careful with their production expenses, they just do what, and I know we've sat here and talked, they do things right. Again, that's nebulous. But they manage in such a way that they put themselves in a position to make money. And that, I think, is true whether it's a business on the square or a farmer out in the country. And frankly, until GM felt like it did, I would have said the same about GM.
One of the things that I think some of the more successful farmers pay attention to, I think a lot of them keep very good records. They know what their costs are. They know when a price is profitable, and they should lock that price in. So they try to keep a close handle on their costs, know what it takes to generate a profit. They study very carefully changes in their operation. If they're trading in a combine for a newer one, you know, they look at the efficiencies of that new combine. Is it cost effective to do that? You know, what's the bottom line when they make that trade? They very carefully weigh and consider those decisions. And they take advantage, as John said, technology's the big thing. They take advantage of the newest science, the newest technology, to try and become better at what they're doing. And so those are important things. They also are very good marketers, and that a lot of times makes more difference for farmers is their ability to market and study the markets, study the commodity charts, and market it in a timely and profitable manner. I think that one of the, and I'm not sure how to tell you this without sounding a little bit negative, and I don't mean to sound negative, but one of the most interesting conversations I was part of when we were putting together the Farm Financial Standards Task Force in Washington, D.C., trying to pull farm financial analysis up to a higher level. This was late 80s, early 90s. And one of the comments I kept hearing the economists make, the farmers make, the farm suppliers make, they all said, if we can just get farmers to keep records like small business people, that's what they need to do. And after I'd heard that comment for probably the 50th time, I related to the people in the room. I said, you know, I've been a lender that's financed small business people, and some of them keep excellent records. But there's a lot of them that go to their tax accountants with a shoebox full of receipts, and they say, well, this is what I did for the year. So don't, you know, we farmers sometimes think small business people keep much better records, and small business people think farmers keep much better records. I don't think you can make that delineation that clean. It varies in both on both sides of that coin. And I will say, though, the ones that do keep better records and look at them and try to learn from them are the ones that have a greater chance of success.
With that, another step, too, the people that not only keep the good records, study them, but try it, but do keep up on technology, do go to classes or to workshops or seminars. And this is back to Bob learning the new technologies, the new things that come along, are the ones that make themselves better, both as farmers and as other small business in retail, etc.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Kevin Wadley, CPA, Pella Corporation, Ozinga Feeds, Van Monen Seed and Chemical, Motor Inn of Knoxville, Fast Track Sports, Iowa Realty, and Golf Cars of Iowa. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Marion County Bank, Pierschbacher Funeral Home, McGriff's Spray Foam, Feaster Seeds District Sales Manager Ryan Schumacher, The Antique Peddler, KO Roofing and Siding, and Peterbilt Truck of Des Moines.
I continued my conversation about farming as a business with Leslie Miller and John Jensen. It seems to me that farmers have to have knowledge about so many different research domains, so many different aspects of the world around us. They need to know economics, they need to know math, they need to know bookkeeping, they need to know genetics, they need to know the most up-to-date technologies, they need to know meteorology, they need to know animal and plant behavior. Is there any other way of making a living like that that comes to mind?
Maybe one, and that's the banker that's trying to keep up with them.
Point taken.
Farmers do have to know a lot. Just getting through the farm programs is very, very difficult. And one of the things that, again, thinking back with different people that I've worked with, I think a lot of people recognize Neil Harrell as being someone who's incredibly intelligent, has good decision-making skills. He's an attorney. He's an economist. He grew up on a farm. I mean, he understands a lot of things. And he can keep up with what people need to know. I mean, he has not studied the agronomy side as much as he should, but I have no doubt in my mind that he could latch onto that information and apply it without too much of a problem. And the farmers have to be the same way. They may not know certain things themselves. They may need to call the extension service to get research trends or get information regarding changing from one combine to another, what research has been done. They certainly utilize, they can utilize some of the testing that Iowa State has done as far as herbicides, you know, which is the most effective, what's the best seed corn to buy, all those kinds of things. There's resources out there. My concern for farmers going forward is some of that information is becoming much more proprietary. Extension has stepped back to a certain extent. We don't notice it as much in this county because we had enough resources in this county to keep extension personnel in place. But many counties, they don't have that. And so where do farmers go for information on what's effective? And a lot of times they wind up relying on the salesperson to supply that information. And you don't want to say the salesperson is going to color the research, but certainly their motivation is to sell product. And so where there might be research art that supports the sale of the product, that's available. And where there's research that doesn't support it, that may not necessarily be disclosed. And so farmers are, right now we haven't suffered much from some of the changes that are out there, but I see those dynamics changing. And with the cuts in the federal government, they're talking not great cuts to extension this year, but potentially much, much bigger next year at the state level where some of our state specialists are. And if that's the case, again, we'll lose that unbiased expertise. And I get concerned about that in terms of helping farmers make good decisions.
Beyond that, Bob, they are the successful ones are more proficient in learning who to go ask, if you will. And part of that includes just going to the computer and doing searches to find out information regarding what they're talking about. And sometimes that's enough information. Sometimes it gives them the right questions to ask so they can go back to the experts in different fields and learn that. But I find, just using our customer base as the example now, I find that our customers are very adept at gathering this information, assimilating it, and putting it to use.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by McCall Monument, Two Rivers Cooperative, Hewitt Service Center, The Linden House, McElveen Lumber, and Steenhook Appraisals. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Williamson HVAC Plumbing and Electrical, Pella Precast Products, Jersey Freeze, H&S Feed and Country Store, 3M, Tri-County Vet Clinic, HCI Care Services, formerly Hospice of Central Iowa, and RJ Performance.
I continued my conversation about farming as a business with Leslie Miller and John Jensen. Do farmers talk a lot to each other?
I don't think they gather at the coffee shops, per se, as much as they used to. But, boy, cell phones are a fabulous thing, you know. And there's a lot of cell phone discussion that goes on, and certainly a lot of sharing of information. But, again, things have changed in that respect.
And I think probably, you know, realistically, on the one hand, Bob, every farmer out there is competing with his neighbor. They're all competitors. But that's in a technical sense, if you will. In the neighborly sense, they're friends, they're neighbors. If somebody stops by and they get to talking about it, they will share information. Well, I tried this, and boy, don't do that, you know. Or this really helped me take care of that problem. That information gets around very well. And as Leslie said, the cell phones only made it go faster.
Any last thoughts that you'd like to share about the current status of farming in Marion County?
I feel like we're at somewhat of a critical point at this point in time. We're getting into the writing of the 2012 Farm Bill. There's a lot of discussion going on about what could be left in place, what could be taken away. They're talking about doing away with direct payments, which are more of a benefit to family-sized operations than they are to large operations. And so there's some concerns there. They're talking about replacing it with beefing up crop insurance, which that could or could not help some operations. But we're at a point where, again, we talked about the input costs being much, much higher percentage of what they're selling product for. And because of that, the margins are slimmer and they need more acres. And so we're at the point where there's an intense competition for acres out there to control acres, farm acres. And we could split our farm population into very, very large farmers and more of what I call lifestyle farmers, in terms of maybe not all of their income is earned on the farm. Maybe they have off-farm income to supplement their farming income, but they choose to spend their non-working hours, if you will. I shouldn't say non-working, but the hours when they're not on the farm, they're doing something to supplement their income. And when they're on the farm, they're earning some income, but it's maybe not enough that they could live on it by themselves. And then the farm size that's in between, what a lot of economists and what I call the family size farming operation, where yes, it does support a family without off-farm income, they're kind of going away. The high-cost machinery has made it difficult for them to take some steps to stay, you know, as technologically advanced as they want to stay. And so they basically all face a decision. Do you get bigger so you can keep up, or do you get smaller so that you can stay comfortable and not have as much risk, but you still preserve your lifestyle and the ag base that you have?
I think, Bob, one of the things that our small retailer in town and our farmers both face this is risk, the risk of things not working right, that type of thing. And from the farmer's side, I was sitting here just now as Leslie was making her comments, thinking, you know, we're hearing of land sales of up to $10,000 an acre in the state, and everything else is a lot higher. But using the $10,000 an acre as an example, if you take one zero off that, we're $1,000 an acre. The point being that everything is still relative, and if certain things don't go right, the farmer still faces a lot of risk in making enough money to cover his expenses, meet his payments, feed his family, and be viable to go back another year. So, and our small town retailer, our retailers have that same risk that they may not make enough money to survive. Our economic times, while, and I'll say this for the public, if you trust the government numbers, things are getting better. But I have a concern that I sit back and I look and I really say, are they getting better? And my concern is that we have volatile times ahead of us, and these risk factors that the farmers face in continuing to operate are going to be challenging.
If I can add one other comment in talking about retailers around the square, again, from a community standpoint, I remember years and years ago one of our bank examiners commenting on the fact that when farm income is down, farm income seems very high for people that are not close to it. We've got high-priced corn, we've got high-priced soybeans. But the fact of the matter is the 2010 crops were very small in this area, not statewide, but in this area. And so our farmers may not feel quite as wealthy right now as farmers in other areas. And the bank examiners always maintain that farmers will pay their bills and feed their families first before they spend much money in the community. And so I believe that is still true today. So we may have merchants in Marion County, and as you go southeast where the crop was less, that feel like, boy, they're just not making sales like they did a year ago. You know, stuff's just not moving quite as well. And it could wind up being a little harder year from them. But it is shorter term, as John talks about. You have shorter term years where, you know, one year you may not make much money, but another year you can. And I do think with some of the higher prices we've got out there available for our 2011 crop, as well as some of the prices that our farmers have been very conscientiously locking in, they will be more profitable this next year. There will be more cash available. And if the suppliers of anhydrous and seed corn and seed beans do not suck all that extra cash up, there'll be more cash in the community. So I think our retailers around our square here in Knoxville, in Marion County in general, have something to look forward to that's a benefit of a good, strong, vibrant farm economy.
Thanks to Leslie Miller and John Jensen for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.